Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn. Coming up, in Addis Ababa, South Sudan's government and the rebels sign a ceasefire agreement ending 5 weeks of fighting.
This peace, if it's going to work, has to be built at the grassroots level, or we will have some replication of the present dysfunctional governance that we see in Juba at present.
And as a strike in South Africa's platinum industry gets underway, the Mine Workers Union appears to be in no mood for compromise.
This is a revolution for the economy of South Africa to benefit all who lives in it. So therefore, why should we be shy? Why should we be apologetic when we claim what belongs to us?
And later in the programme, there's more drama for the Crossroads generation when Massey tells her father he's suspected of involvement in a robbery.
Top story.
South Sudan's rebels and the government have signed a peace deal in Addis Ababa and have pledged to stop the fighting within 24 hours. Since mid-December, thousands have been killed in the conflict, close to 500,000 displaced, and atrocities have allegedly been committed by both sides. Previous efforts to reach a ceasefire have faltered over demands by the rebels for the release of 11 political detainees. I asked our correspondent in Addis Ababa, Benno Mischler, whether this had now been resolved.
Well, to a certain point. Both sides here signed an agreement at around 8 p.m. local time. What they signed was not that both sides agreed on the full release of detainees, but what they said is that the root cause of this conflict is the imprisonment of those opposition members. And what both sides also said, that there should be found a way so that those opposition members can take part in the upcoming and the following negotiations. How that will be and if that will take place, that is not in the agreement that both sides signed today.
What about the presence of Ugandan forces in South Sudan, to which the rebels were objecting? Was anything decided there?
No, rebels did not say anything about it. They did not say anything that was not part of the meeting.
What provisions have been made for the monitoring and verification of the deal?
Unfortunately, there was no Q&A at the end of the meeting, but we reporters, we had a chance to talk to the special envoy, to IGAD, CEO Mesfin, and he said that they will still agree on the process, on the mechanism for the monitoring. What he could at least say is that there will be some sorts of expertise with a military background, but both sides, he said, have to agree on how they want to do this. Yeah, they did not give many details on that.
So, as far as we know, what does this deal actually contain?
Both sides agreed on a ceasefire. That's what they signed, and agreed that the root cause of this conflict is the imprisonment of the opposition members, and that there should be a way and quick way to release those detainees to make sure that the ceasefire will last.
And they've also agreed to stop fighting within 24 hours. What's the mood like among the negotiators and the mediators? Are they pleased that a deal has been reached, or disappointed that it took so long with the fighting carrying on?
Both sides were very calm. They did not say any hard words to each other. There were actually many, many representatives from the international community. So, and all of them, they said this agreement is a first good step. However, it is only a step in a very long journey.
Benno Mischler in Addis Ababa. For analysis of this ceasefire, I turn to Professor Eric Reeves from Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts, in the United States. He's been working and researching in South Sudan for the last 14 years. I asked him if he thought this peace deal would work.
I wish I could say I did, but I don't. There have been many misunderstandings, in part because of some serious misreporting on both the agreement, which is dated originally in final copy, January 15th. So that's over a week ago. And I think the notion that Riek Machar somehow is a counterweight or an equal to Salva Kiir, and that he, in some sense, commands rebel forces is deeply mistaken. I don't believe he commands even a small fraction of the rebel forces. It's only an accident that he got away and the other detainees did not. It's arguable that he and only a couple other people really represent a kind of hostility to Salva Kiir and the government of South Sudan that would produce ongoing violence. Unfortunately, that will be enough. And we have so much displacement. We have so many people in desperate need. People in desperate need often do desperate things. And I'm afraid we're going to see more and more of that.
So in other words, you don't think the fighting will cease?
I don't know how it can. For one thing, communication is going to be extremely difficult to some of the more remote locations. The other thing to remember is that the SPLA, the Sudan People's Liberation Army, which is split in half now, was itself never fully integrated. It was always, in some sense, a collection of militia forces. Now, they allied for the purposes of bringing about peace with the North, but the danger of fragmentation has always been there. And under the stress of violent conflict, that fragmentation, I believe, especially on the side of the SPLA in opposition, as it's called in the cessation of hostilities agreement, I think we'll see very bad fragmentation there.
From what you know of the country, how do you think the people of South Sudan are going to respond to this deal that has just been signed in Addis Ababa?
This is my greatest hope, that the people see a signed agreement and begin grassroots pressure on elements of the SPLA to which they are bound by tribe or family or community. As a couple of observers have noted in the last few days, this peace, if it's going to work, has to be built at the grassroots level. It cannot be another top-down agreement, or we will have some replication of the present dysfunctional governance that we see in Juba at present.
Professor Eric Reeves from Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts, in the United States.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
In South Africa's platinum mines, thousands of workers belonging to the trade union AMCU went on strike on Thursday in support of a hefty pay rise. The miners are asking for a starting salary of around 870 euros a month, which the employers say they can't afford. Workers belonging to a rival mining union, the NUM, did not join the strike. There have been allegations that AMCU members tried to intimidate NUM members and stop them from going to work, but AMCU denies this. The full story now from Tuzo Kamalo in Johannesburg.
The strike has hit South Africa's top platinum-producing mines, namely Anglo-American platinum mines, Impala Platinum Mines and Lonmin. The workers, who are members of the Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union, AMCU, are demanding a basic salary of $1,150 a month. Addressing around 4,000 strikers at the Wondercop Stadium in the Northwest Province, where the mines are located, AMCU President Joseph Matunjwa urged them not to resort to violence during the indefinite strike.
We've been conducting central mass meetings emphasizing the peace. No weapons should be carried. People mustn't be intimidated who wants to report for duty. Let's respect their rights and concentrate on our demands.
However, a National Union of Mine Workers, NUM official in the Northwest Province, Livwani Mamburu, accused AMCU members of intimidating their workers who wanted to go to work.
Another report from Lonmin is that 67 of our members could not go to work because they were also intimidated. They all reported to our regional office in Rustenburg. So our members are at the moment are very concerned because there is high level of intimidation.
AMCU President Matunjwa dismissed suggestions that the strike will have a negative effect on the economy.
We demand a decent salary. This is a revolution for the economy of South Africa to benefit all who lives in it. So therefore, why should we be shy? Why should we be apologetic when we claim what belongs to us? What we are doing is what we voted for. The right to strike is what we voted for.
However, Byron Lotter, portfolio manager at the investment company Vestec, insists that the losses will be huge.
Since Marikana and over the 2012-2013 period, which is about 1.5 years, they've lost nearly 870,000 ounces of production due to strikes. And you can easily calculate that with the platinum price, and that was nearly 12 billion rand. And 1.1 billion rand of that would have gone to wages.
The government has instructed the Minister of Labour to help resolve the impasse, and AMCU says it will attend the government-mediated negotiations likely to be held on Friday.
Tuzo Kamalo in Johannesburg. In Kenya, journalists have gone to court to challenge a controversial new media bill. The legislation foresees the creation of a special government tribunal to police the activities of media outlets and individual journalists. News organizations could face crippling fines of up to 170,000 euros. The bill has infuriated Kenya's independent media. They claim that democracy and free speech are under attack. From Nairobi, James Shimanyula reports.
Kenya's High Court is due to rule next week on whether or not to stop the appointment of members of the Special Government Tribunal with the powers to crack down on media houses and individual journalists. Should the decision be taken to stop the appointment, that would automatically be followed by the hearing of the petition filed on Thursday that challenges the media bill that President Kenyatta signed into law last December. David Ohito, vice chairman of the Kenya Editors Guild, explains why journalists think they have a strong case.
We are very confident that we will have fair hearing before the corridors of justice. The judiciary is the final authority or arbiter. The president went ahead and even drafted legislation. And remember, in the new constitution, president is not a member of parliament. He has absolutely no powers to originate legislation. We really feel the constitution was breached. The manner in which the laws were made did not follow the procedures as outlined in the constitution.
Olo Janaka, Secretary General of the Kenya Correspondents Association, has this explanation for what may have prompted President Kenyatta to approve the new law, which journalists describe as draconian.
The executive was bent on passing the laws to try to manage the media. The executive has been most unhappy with the media because of its robust role in investigations, especially on scandals and corruption, and also we had the issue of the Westgate.
During the Westgate attack last September, Kenya journalists revealed how security men were allegedly involved in acts of looting. Janaka puts the blame on Kenyatta's advisors, who apparently persuaded him to assent to the bill even after journalists staged street protests to stop him from approving it.
We think that the president, despite the protests, was misadvised, because the president initially declined to assent into law following the noise that was made by media stakeholders.
The media stakeholders in Kenya include dozens of privately owned radio and television stations, as well as several daily newspapers.
James Shimanyula reporting.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Crossroads Generation, a learning by ear radio drama production brought to you by DW.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for a way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
Let's recap on what's happened in previous episodes. Mercy got a letter from a classmate, Nikki. His parents were robbed recently, and they suspect that Mercy's dad, Msoto, who used to work as their watchman, was responsible.
What? This is a joke, right? Nikki, what is this? This can't be true, no.
Will Mercy manage to warn her father in time? Was Msoto really behind the robbery? Things have been falling apart for him these last few months. He's been drinking too much, he quit his job as a watchman, his wife left him, and his two sons, who were supposed to be with his sister Lena in Laboria, have disappeared. What he doesn't know yet is that Kadu and Banda are on their way home right now. Odumbe, a truck driver they met by chance while they were begging on the street, has offered them his help. In the last episode, they just began their journey together.
I can't drive very fast in this truck. If we are lucky, we should be home by tomorrow. And boys, if anyone asks you, tell them I'm your father, okay?
Okay.
Keep listening to find out where the story takes us in this, the 21st episode entitled Bad News. We meet up again with Odumbe and the boys as they reach a police checkpoint.
Everyone inside the truck, come out. Open the canvas. We need to check everything.
Yes, officer. One moment. I'll wake up my boys. Wanda. Kadu. Hey, boys, get up. We need to get out. We are at the police checkpoint. Officer, I'm sorry, but my two sons are fast asleep. It's been a long journey.
You have your two sons with you? I have to see them. We have to check everyone.
They are up on the sleeping deck. You can come and see them, but do you have to use your torch? I'd rather not wake them up. I'm glad to have some peace and quiet. You know how boys are, especially when they are traveling.
Yes, I know what you're saying. Where are you traveling to?
Back to Tandika. I was delivering goods to Laboria and I thought it would be nice for them to visit. They really enjoyed it.
I can imagine. You know,
no.
I also have a...
No!
Did I hear something?
Please!
Did that voice come from
leave
your truck?
That was just
leave
the radio. You know, to keep me awake while I'm driving.
That's okay. You seem like a good person. Have a safe trip and say hi to your boys when they wake up.
Oh, of course. Thank you, officer. That was close.
I need to pee.
Oh, not now, Banda. We have to drive out of here as fast as we can. I'll stop later, I promise.
Mercy. Mercy!
Here I am. What is it?
Mercy, you should have burnt the trash, but nothing has been done. It's already evening now.
Sorry, Dad. I had homework.
Homework? This is your homework. This is your home.
Yes, Dad.
And why are you looking at me strangely?
Dad, today in school...
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Someone gave me this note. It says you had something to do with a robbery.
What on earth? Huh? Robbery? Rubbish. How can you even think such a thing? Do I look like an armed robber to you? Who told you this?
The note was from Nikki Jumbe. He's in my class. His parents were robbed last week and they think you had something to do with it. It's because you used to be their watchman and then suddenly you quit.
Yes, I quit. So what? Is it illegal for a watchman who's worked for 10 years of earning peanuts to resign? You're telling me my former employers are accusing me of stealing and robbing from them after all those years I spent protecting their property?
I believe you, Dad, but I think the police and Mr. and Mrs. Jumbe probably won't. The police are going to come for you very soon. I think you'd better go.
Mercy, what do you mean? I have nowhere to go.
You could go to Mom's parents. Nobody will think of looking for you in the village.
Oh, no. It's the police. We are too late, Mercy. What shall I do? Tell me.
Let me check first.
Yes? Who is it? Mercy, open up. It's me, Trudy.
Mercy, don't open the door. It could be a trick.
Dad, Trudy's a friend of mine. She's been here before when you were out. Hi, Trudy.
Hi.
Please, take a seat and meet my dad. Dad, this is Trudy.
Hello, Trudy. Mercy, I'll be in my room then, packing.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Msoto.
Same.
Hey, are you going somewhere?
Me? No, not me. Just my dad. So, tell me, what is it that couldn't wait till tomorrow?
Mercy, I think I've got an STD.
What's an STD? You seem very worried, Trudy.
An STD, don't you know? A sexually transmitted disease.
Oh my goodness! Trudy, are you serious? You mean you could be HIV positive?
Oh no, come on. Now you're taking it too far. I only said an STD.
How did you get it? How do you even know you have it?
I think I caught it from the conductor. That's the boy I see most of the time. And I know the symptoms. It's not the first time I've had it.
Trudy!
Anyway, I wanted to tell you now because I need to get it treated. So I'll be off school for a few days.
Trudy, I'm really shocked. Is it dangerous?
All STDs are kind of dangerous if you don't treat them. At least, that's what my doctor told me. I've already been to see him. He says it's not so bad, but he wants me to be careful.
But what does it feel like?
It itches like an irritation, and it hurts a bit when I pee.
Ew, my God. What did your parents say about it?
Are you crazy? I would never tell my parents about this.
Oh, no. What if I'm infected too?
You can't be. And don't worry, I'm not going to die.
No, Trudy, you don't get it. I haven't told you this, but Dan and me, well, I'm not a virgin anymore.
What? Mercy, you and Dan? So you did it.
Mercy, I'm ready to go.
Come on, bring it on.
Yeah.
Okay, let me show you what I've got.
Right.
I made him. Come on.
What a shot! Yeah. And Bicol, it's 5-4.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Show me what you've got, Danny boy.
That's just one goal, okay? Let's go. Here.
Show
me what you got. Let's go. This we got. 5-5. Hey. Time out. I need some rest.
You have no stamina, Danny boy.
Hey, man. This is the first time you've ever even tied with me. So stop blowing your own trumpet, man.
That's my boy! Show them what you're made of, Danny.
Dad, what are you doing here?
Man, is that your father? He looks very bling-bling.
Dad! When did you arrive? I wasn't expecting you at all.
I decided to surprise you. Even the principal doesn't know I'm here yet. I spoke nicely to the guard. You know my style, eh? So, of course, he let me in. He told me you two get along very well.
Well, Dad, this is Biko.
Biko.
Hello, Papa Dan. Nice to meet you, Mr. Kanyama.
CEO Kanyama. Chief Executive Officer of Kanyama Enterprises. Didn't Dan tell you who I am?
Oh, I guess I just didn't remember, sir. It was a pleasure meeting you, CEO Kanyama. Have to go and study now. See you later, Dan.
See you, man.
Good. So, here I am. I've come to see your new school for myself and the new girl who's been driving you so crazy that you've completely forgotten about Anita.
What?
As a shocked and startled Dan stands there with sweat dripping from his shirt, we reach the end of this episode. What awaits Msoto as he flees the police? After hearing Trudy's news, Mercy is now worried about her sexual encounter with Dan. Will her fears come true? Don't miss the next episode to find out. And if you'd like to listen to this episode again, visit our website at dw.de/LBE. You can also follow us on Facebook. Until we meet again, take care and stay safe.
And here on Africa Link, there'll be another chance to find out what's happening to the Crossroads generation on Monday. Our main stories. The South Sudanese government and rebels have signed a ceasefire deal in Addis Ababa to end their 5-week conflict. South African platinum mines shut down on Thursday as the AMCU trade union began a strike for a sizable pay increase the employers say they can't afford. And journalists in Kenya have launched legal action against a new media bill. We welcome your comments on this programme. Do send a text message to 491609575951 and email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. Africa Link returns at the same time tomorrow. Do join us if you can. As always, thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.